Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see all of those that are in the building, all of you online. It's really, really awesome to see all of you. I love, love, love Sundays, and I love being with you, whether it's like this or it's like this. I really, really love being connected to you. Hey, last Sunday, I said, hey, tell me where you're watching from. I want to give you a shout out. I want to hear, like, when do you watch? Where do you watch from? And so some people responded to that, which always excites me. So today, I want to respond to you. I just want to say hello to Jonathan, who watches in Altamont Springs. Thank you so much for being connected. In fact, I know him personally. So hello, Jonathan. He met us because of people that attend our church and are a part of this church family. They're good friends to Lauren and I. And so what's up, Jonathan? Congrats on the new job, by the way. Really, really excited for you. And then also somebody who is a part of this church family but is currently a chemical engineering student at the University of Florida. Hello, Kayla. We love you. Hey, give it up for those two, if you would. Really, really awesome. Thanks for talking to me. Thanks for letting me know when you watch, where you watch from. A couple more quick ones, if you don't mind. My good friend Andy, right down here on the front row in the building this morning, is typically watching online on Sundays from Puerto Rico. So thank you for being tuned in. And then it's awesome to have you in the house this morning. Love you, man. Good to see you this morning. And then finally, just last night, I was hanging out with some family and found out that they have been watching every Sunday for the entire pandemic, and I just think that is awesome. So hello, family. Love you guys too. So give it up for all of those, would you? For Andy, for Kayla, for Jonathan, for my family. It's awesome. I really love being connected and love being close, and I really thank God for the technology that allows us to reach people in other locations, whether they live there and work there, or whether they just choose to be in a smaller atmosphere and keep distance, or for whatever reason, they're off at college about to change the world. You say chemical engineering, I'm like, I was a liberal arts kid. You know what I mean? Like, that's not me. And so you say things like that. I mean, it's really, really amazing. So I just thank God that our family can be bigger than this room. I really love that. I really do. And so for those of you that are connecting online, reach out, go to cotr.live. And just let us know where do you watch from and when. So I've heard from people that watch live on Sundays in real time. I would love to hear from some people maybe that don't. Like, when do you watch and why? Is it a work thing? Is it a preference thing? I'm just interested. And so anyway, if you talk to me, I will talk to you. I will give you a shout out from here. And then if you don't want me to give you a shout out, just say that. Just say, don't shout me out. And I will also not do that to respect you if you don't want to. Okay. So anyway, it's just awesome. Good morning, everybody. We're in part number 4 of a series that we're calling New Day. It is a brand new day at Church on the Rock. If you've been a part of this process, you know that God is doing a new thing in us. He's really beginning to shift and change and move us. God is calling us into a decisive direction. Amen, everybody? Like, He's calling us to something. And one of the things that He has spoken into our house is that nothing we've been through is wasted, which for me, 2020 was painful. I didn't like anything about it, and it was very, very hard to lead through, quite honestly. But when God spoke into the heart of this church and said those words, really through me, that, hey, I'm taking this church in a decisive direction. Nothing you've been through is wasted. It just put me at total ease, like, okay, like, you're up to something, you're doing something. And then the series, A New Day, was birthed in my heart. We've been taking a journey through the book of Exodus. Before we get to our next part of Exodus, though, I want to take you right here. This is kind of our theme verse we've been starting here each and every week. The Bible says through the prophet Isaiah, I'm doing, everybody say these words, a new thing, a new thing. That's what God's doing here. That's what God is doing in our house. He's doing a new thing, and it's right now. Like, now it springs up. And He says, do you not perceive it? Like, are you not aware? In other words, it's really His way of saying, hey, pay attention. Pay attention. I'm doing something in the house. Pay attention. And then He says this, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I don't know about you, but I felt like I walked through a wilderness in 2020. I felt like there was wastelands all around me. Like, God, can you make anything good come from what we are going through or what we are doing? And so the voice of the Lord has spoken at us. It's a new day here. I'm doing something, taking you somewhere. Amen. So what we've been doing is looking at I felt that adjustment. Thank you, everybody. I have been taking us through the book of Exodus. which is a story of God's people that were held in slavery and captivity in Egypt. God had a heart and a desire to set them free. He wanted them to be out of that bondage and into a land of their own. He called it good. He called it spacious. It was actually called the promised land. I'm going to promise you a destination, a decisive direction to get to some place where you can occupy for yourself and you can be free. And we've been going on this journey. And in order to bring those people from Egyptian captivity into freedom in their promised land, it all started in the heart of a man, Moses. God began to do a deep work in Moses' heart, and that's what we've been looking at. And we're now transitioning to where Moses is starting to meet Israel. And so now we're talking about more than just Moses. Now we're talking about a people. And we're really digging into like what God is starting to do in and through his people. And that's where we're going to start today. So just flash review. We talked about what God did in Moses' heart. Remember that? Like he had to change something on the inside of his heart in order to prepare his ear. And then we talked about when God spoke to Moses, he gave him a call. Like, I had to get your heart set so your ear could receive what it is that I have to say. And then last week we looked at what God did with what Moses held in his hand, and it was that staff, and he transformed it. Moses would forever leave being a shepherd of sheep, and he would transition, really be promoted to becoming a shepherd of God's people. It's a much higher calling. Today we're going to look a little bit deeper, and if you did the study, how many of you guys are enjoying the review, have been reading and studying and all that stuff? How many of you guys can't stand me for it? Where are you at? You can be honest. All right, good. I got some. Fair enough. That's okay with me. That is for you to take if you want it, leave if you don't. Okay, fair enough. But I gave you a hint. I said, notice what's on their backs. Like on the people of Israel, there's something on their back. There's something that they're carrying. And I want to get into that this morning. Are you ready? If you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're doing church online, type ready and we'll get started. I want to take you to one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. It's Exodus chapter 6. Verses 6 through 8, this is a revelation that was brought to me several years ago through one of my heroes in the faith. And honestly, as much as I would love to just dig deep and really spend a lot of time here, I'm just going to bump the surface of this context to set us up for today. Because I want you to notice that God is speaking. He says, therefore, say to the people of Israel. So if you think about it, God said to Moses, hey, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to say, and we all know, right, if nothing else, if you've never read the story in the Bible, you've probably seen the Disney movies, you know, like go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. So God sends Moses to the king of Egypt, and he says, I want you to communicate to him. But what oftentimes gets overlooked is that God sent Moses also to Egypt to communicate to his people. Like, I don't want you to just talk to Pharaoh. I want you to talk to my people. You're going to create a dialogue with them. You're going to begin to communicate into their lives. And this is the command that he gives. I want you to say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. So he identifies himself like, I'm the one talking, right? Then he says some things. And again, we're just going to bump the surface right here. He makes four promises to the people of Israel. Four promises, in fact, that I believe God is still trying to accomplish in the lives of people today. He says this, I'll free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. And those sound the same, but they're different. And if you want this in detail, come to All Access Step 1, March 7th at 12:15. I'll tell you what this, our whole church's mission is built on these four things. The whole church, everything we do here is built on these things that God said to the people of Israel. And so he says, I'm going to free you from the oppression. I'm going to rescue you from slavery. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to put you back into the purpose in which I designed for you, not the purpose in which you are living in now. I'm going to do that with a powerful arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I'll claim you as my own people. I'm going to make you my people. We're going to do this together. Community matters. Amen. Join a life group. To which some of you are like, well, none of the life groups fit my schedule. Start a life group. Yeah. Amen. So he says, I'm going to claim you as my own people. We do life together. We do life in community, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. And I'll bring you into the land I swore to give you. So here's that promised land. He's talking about it. I swore to give you through your genealogy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Like I promised this a long time ago. I'll give it to you as your very own possession. And then he finishes, I am the Lord. So he identifies himself on the front end. He identifies himself on the back end. He's communicating to the people of Israel, and he's making promises. I want to do some things in your life. Like, I want to get you out of a place of slavery. And then I want to get the mindset and the lifestyle of slavery out of you. And then I want to put you back into a redemptive purpose. Like, I designed you, but Satan has hijacked your life and got you to think something that's not true about you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to put you back into right standing for what I have built and designed you to do. And then I'm going to put you with a people, because you'll never accomplish the mission alone. Amen. And our whole church is built on those four principles. Everything we do is built on that. We want people to know God. We want them to find freedom. We want them to discover purpose. We want them to make a difference. Amen. Everything we do is channeled into those four lanes. If you go to All Access, you'll hear it all in its detail. And we walk you through a process to help you do those four things. It's what we're built on. But I want to pay attention to just the following verse. This, for me, is like the second funnest revelation I had in my study. Last week was my favorite, I'll just be honest with you. But when I was reading and studying, God was opening my eyes to all kinds of things, and I found something remarkably interesting that just began to unpack more and more thought and creativity, and I feel like God has shown me something for us, all right, for all of us, myself included. And I want you to notice what happens. So Moses told the people what the Lord said, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. They had, pay attention right here. They had become too discouraged by the increasing burden of their slavery. Israel is carrying on their backs a load. And it's the load of slavery and oppression. Slaves don't get to choose what to eat or when to eat or what to do or when to do it. They don't get to dictate their pace or their lifestyle. They don't get to lounge and relax and enjoy fruit from their labor. They are just pushed and grinded into this lifestyle that's forced on them whether they like it or not. And here's what I find to be remarkably interesting is that God himself has sent a man, and God always sends people. God accomplishes his will through you and me. Amen. Always. We are the plan for the gospel to advance in the earth today. You will never find it not happening that way anywhere in Scripture. God sends a man, and he sends a man with a message to Pharaoh, and he sends a man with a message to God's people, Israel. He says, this is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to get you out of this slavery. He wants to get the lifestyle of slavery out of you. He wants to bring you back to your original design and purpose that he designed for you. He wants to make you a people where you get to do it your way, and you don't have to do it according to this. Like, you're going to do it the way he leads you to do it. And the Bible says they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen because of the increasing burden of their slavery. And I find this interesting. Because the people of Israel, who wanted freedom, who had been crying out to God for freedom, who wanted rescue from the place in which they lived in, rejected the voice of the very one who not only had the power, but the desire to set them free. And this is what sin does to you and to me. You can write this or just look at it on your notes, but sin creates a burden of slavery in our lives. This is what sin does. It creates this oppression and this burden. It's something that goes on our backs and we have to carry and we have to walk around with. And this is why when we met Jesus, it was so freeing and it was so powerful, because he does something about this. But what happens is that sin, it clouds our minds, it changes our thoughts, it creates so much overwhelming pressure and so much burden that we oftentimes push back against the very one that not only has the power to save us, but the desire to do so, which is why I think the world looks like the world. I actually don't think the world is uninterested in God. I think the world can't hear him. Which is why, preacher warning, okay? Which is why I just personally think it's time for the body of Christ to climb down off our high horses of judgment about the world. Like, we get mad at sinners for sinning. Like, what? They don't know. They don't know. And we, when we find Christ and get our burden lifted, and all of a sudden we find some freedom, something changes somehow, because Satan still gets in and he still manipulates and he still twists. And then all of a sudden, I'm better than you because I'm holier than you, and that won't change the world. But if we will just climb down off the high horses and pedestals and holier than thou mindsets in the body of Christ worldwide and get down on the level in which the world is at and just try to communicate the hope of the gospel that we have found in a way that took our burden away and changed our hearts and changed our lives, I actually think the world is starving to death for that news. They just don't know it. The Bible even says that it's like their minds can't even comprehend it. And so we have a mission, like Moses, called by God. I'm going to do something in your heart. I'm going to speak something into your ear. What's in your hand? I want to promote you because I actually want to put something on your back. I want you to carry my gospel message to the world that's pushing back against me, even though I'm the only one that can save them. And I actually have a desire to do so. I want to save them. Look what the Bible says. We'll just move on a little bit. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Kind of a funny sounding sentence. But like, I set you free to be free. So stand firm then and don't let yourselves be what? Burdened again. By the yoke of what? Slavery. So like God is saying like, I set you free, so be free. Be free. Don't let the enemy come back and bring that burden back to you. Don't let him pile the weight and the oppression of slavery back onto you. God's saying, I brought you out of slavery so that you can be free from slavery, but what he has to do is an inner working. This is the journey of faith right here. This is the beauty of walking with Christ Jesus, because it is 100% possible to be out of slavery and still think like one. So there's like a renewal of the mind, the Bible says, that we have to change what we think and how we believe and how we see ourselves, not as overwhelmed by the burden and the pain and the oppression of the slavery and ascend mindset, but I am a son, I am a daughter of the Most High King. My sins have been paid. Jesus lifted my burden, which is why I can't judge you and high horse myself over you, because I didn't set myself free. He did. Amen. He did it. So it doesn't make me better than you. It just makes me more aware. Amen. I'm aware of something I would love for you to become aware of. Jesus lifted my burden. Yeah. Jesus changed my life. Amen. And so what the Bible's saying is like, hey, don't let the burden come back again. Don't go back into slavery. Walk in the freedom that's been purchased for you. Praise the Lord. I need a new microphone. Romans 6:6, look at this. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer what? Say it. We're no longer slaves to sin. I have the victory over sin because of what Jesus gave to me, because of the blood that was shed for me. And so the idea of what God's calling us to do is to look like Moses and go to a people that push back against the voice of the very one that has the power and desire to save them. So what we see happening here is we see these people that have this burden on their backs from their slavery, and the burden is so heavy that it actually changes their mindset to where when the very voice of the Lord speaks, they just push back against it. And it's not because they don't want to be free. It's because they're too overwhelmed. It's like, I'm too bound here. You ever been in a posture where you just felt like it's too far gone? Like it's too late now. You know what I'm saying? Some of you guys sold your car for that reason. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we're done. We're done with this. no more of this car. I'm not fixing it. It is too far gone. Sometimes we get that way in our situations and in our lives where we just feel like, look, there's no hope here. This is where people bound in slavery of sin find themselves. There is no hope. But the truth of the matter is that God has put a burden on a bunch of Moseses to be voices into their lives and say, hey, it's a new day. Jesus will do for you what he did for me. Like, I'm not better than you. I'm just exactly like you. That's the thing. Because the fact of the matter is, I know Jesus personally, by the way. If that makes you feel better as a pastor of the church, we know each other. We talk. All right? And I am convinced that he's redeemed me from my sin and that I walk in freedom. I know that. But there's this thing, my carnality, is constantly trying to get lazier. It's constantly trying to be more self-indulged. It's constantly making mistakes and errors and stupidity and selfishness constantly. But what I got to do is remind myself that it is for freedom that I've been set free. So the difference is I can go to the voice of the Lord and I can hear him speaking. People that haven't understood or connected to the saving knowledge that I have, they don't know where to go. So the burden gets heavier and it gets worse and it drives them down further. The only difference between them and me is I know where to go. I know who to talk to and who to listen to. And so what it is for the body of Christ, those of us that walk with Jesus, is listen, the burden changes. Let me show you. Salvation. So those of us that are in Jesus, that have a relationship with him, salvation brings a burden for saving others from the slavery in their lives. Which, by the way, if you're looking at your notes right now and you're like, that is not what it says on my paper, I changed it late last night, my bad. I just like these wordings better, okay? So you can modify it with your pen if you want to, or electronically if you're doing it digitally. But salvation brings a burden for saving others from the slavery of their sin. So when I know personally what it feels like to walk under the burden of sin, and then it's lifted because of Jesus, all of a sudden I take on a new burden. Like, you know what? I want other people to experience what I have experienced. I think the worst thing that a Christian can do is keep Jesus to themselves. Because it's not what we're called to do. It's not what we're called to do. A couple of verses. This is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, from gentle and humble in heart. A little different tone than a slave driver. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my what? My burden is like, do you see the exchange? So it's not that Jesus doesn't want us to carry a burden. He wants us to carry a light burden. He wants to carry us a different burden. There's an exchange. And so the burden of sin and the burden of slavery closes off my ears. It clouds my heart. It makes me unaware of what is in my hands. It steals the mission and the hope from me because in my own mind, I'm too far gone. But when I become aware of who Christ Jesus is, he lifts the burden of slavery. It is for freedom that I have set you free. You're my son. You are my daughter. You have my name. You have a seat at the table. Your name is written in this Lamb's book of life. You got a spot here. I go and I prepare a place for you. Now, since you're still here with that burden lifted, I'd like to exchange it for a new burden, because what I need you to do is become like Moses and be my voice to the people pushing back and rejecting me and making it seem as though they don't want me, when that's not true. They just can't hear me. They just can't hear me. So what are you and I called to be? Moses, with a burden on our back, to love people and serve people and care for people, be real with people. Listen to me, follower of Christ Jesus. If you're walking with Jesus and you're not dirty because you're in the trench with somebody else, you might be on the wrong trail. I'm just saying. Because Because can we be honest? Like, I don't even want you to think about anybody else. I just want you to think about you for a minute. Our lives are messy. Aren't they? Riddled with issue and doubt, mental fatigue and struggle and stress and anxiety and pressure and the lure of life just constantly at work. It's messy. It's messy. What we sometimes struggle to do is just be real and be honest. Like, well, I'm a Christian. I should have it all together. I don't know how true that is. Like, here's what I do know. My spirit is perfect. It is flawless because of Jesus. But this whole deal that's wrapping it, Lord, I tell you right now, it's a fight all the time, and it's messy. God's called me to pastor a church, and I have very dear friends that I can, like, talk to, like, for real, where I don't have to be like, what are they going to think of me because I'm, no, like, I can just be like, look, I'm struggling right now, like, I'm fighting stuff right now. And those guys get dirty in the trench with me. And I think all the time, where would I be without them? Like, where would I be? And you know the truth? I think I would have just walked away by now. That's pretty honest. But I'm just glad people get in the trench that I'm in and they get dirty with me. Like, bro, I get it. It's okay. Like, me too. What? Yeah. Like, let's pray about this. Let me check in on you. Let me hold you accountable. Let me talk to you about this. Let me show you some scripture. Let me challenge something in you. Let me challenge your mindset. Maybe you should think differently. And I'm just glad they're willing to get down there in my mess and get some dirt on them and, you know, whatever. Like, I got you. And here's all I'm saying. The whole lost world around us just needs some people willing to get dirty. Be Moses. Go to them and say, I'm just trying to tell you that God wants to rescue you. He can, and he strongly, madly, like, he desires to. Another verse. I just want to show you. Jesus speaking again. He's talking about himself. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. I just stinking love that conjunction. Seek and save. Ability, desire. The Christmas story calls God Emmanuel, God with us. John 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When Jesus walked out of the tomb and ascended up into heaven, and he told his disciples, like, hang out in this room, something awesome is going to happen. He actually said to them, it's better for you if I go, because he wants to put the Spirit of the living God in us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It's a pursuit and an ability. That's what it is. That's our God. That's our God. I wish so much that I could have had my youngest daughter come to the platform. She's serving next door in Camp Rock Kids. Otherwise, so in the 11 a.m., I said, I might call you to the platform. I need you to be ready. And she freaked out a little. But I said, don't worry. You're you don't have struggles with being in front of people. And so if I brought Katie up here, I would ask her this question, and I'm going to tell you exactly how it would go. I would say to Katie, what is the difference between someone walking and someone running? And she would give me a one-word response: urgency. They both have somewhere to go. They are both on their way in a decisive direction, but one is going to get there more urgently. And I just feel like as followers of Jesus, we need to pick up the pace. Man, I'm getting emotional, which is not a surprise. Quentin will call me out over there. I got to square up for my teammate. But hey, follower of Jesus, this matters a lot. And maybe we should just operate with more urgency, because all around us, everywhere, are people needing rescue from a God who not only has an overwhelming desire to save them, but the ability to do it. They just won't listen. They need you. They need me. They need us to have a burden for their condition, a willingness to go get dirty, get in the trench of their life, and just be like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I understand. I know how it feels. Your issue might not be my issue. It might not look like my issue, but I know what sin feels like. I know what distraction is. I know what slavery is. Been there. And like relate to him a little bit and then say, but I found some hope. You want to hear about hope? His name is Jesus. But hello, I'm just saying it's the thing. All right, let's get into, I'm going to close. Let's get into the study. So hold your tomatoes if you don't like this. Get your pen out if you do. The questions to reflect on this week. Number one, is there a sin in your life creating a burden of slavery? Let's just ask ourselves that. Because it's possible. Because he says, don't be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Like, what is it? Is there something in our own hearts, in our own lives that we just need to check on, maybe do away with, maybe just reallocate or structure differently or whatever, right? Number two, what burden do you feel God giving you for others? There should be an exchange. Like, where's your heart? Who can you serve? How can you help? What do you, like, listen carefully. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Well, Pastor, I want to help people. I don't have a lot of money. Well, you don't need money. You can compliment people for free. You can say nice things. You know how many people, and I feel like I use this example all the time, but you know how many people go through the whole day and nobody says kind things to them? You be that person. What do you have? I mean, you might not be able to buy them a meal, but you might be able to clean up their plate. Just do something to serve them. I don't know. And here's the thing. Like, this is, and if you don't know how to serve, like, this is what our serve team exists for at Church on the Rock. We're just a huge group of people that love making a difference in other people's lives because we have an urgency about our mission. And if you're like, well, what does serving people look like? We'll teach you. Get on the team. Join the team. Just go to All Access and join the team, and we will show you. Because listen to me carefully. We don't have to do what we do. We get to. We want to. So, questions are, is there a sin in your life creating a burden of slavery? Number two, what burden do you feel God giving you for others? Let's find an exchange. Let's pray about it. God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve? How can I make a difference? Whatever the question is, how can I make a difference? And then, let's be real. Let's be real. All right, God, what do I need to deal with in my own life? All right, here we go. Ready? This is going to freak people out. You ready? Sorry. All right, read and ponder Exodus 14. I know. We skipped all these chapters. Where we ended today is right before the plagues of Egypt. And totally, read those. We're just not going to get into the movement of the plagues and what God is doing. It's a lot of different things with a lot of the same patterns, basically, is what we see. And then ultimately, God moves the people out of Egypt. And so for the next two Sundays, we're going to actually stay in chapter 14 for the next 2 weeks. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna dig into as they start to leave Egypt and they start to move toward their freedom. Now the people of Israel are off in a decisive direction. For them, it's a new day. They're going to a new place, and we're gonna watch what God begins to do in their hearts. And I've been giving a hint. I just want you to pay attention to Israel's feet. What are they doing? So we started with the heart of Moses. We went to the ear of Moses. We looked at the hand of Moses this Sunday, chapter 14, or this week rather, chapter 14. We're going to pay attention to the feet of Israel. What are their feet doing? Dig into that. Write some notes, get some thoughts, and see what God might share with you. Okay, as we close today, this message, of all the messages in the series, perhaps is the best prop for people that don't know Jesus and want to. Because really, we've talked about the exchange of what Christ is doing in our lives. That Jesus came down the cross, that's how he lifted the burden of our sin, and now how he places the burden of our mission on our backs. One is heavy and overwhelming and painful, and one is light and easy and fun. And so what I want to do is just invite those of you who maybe have never made a decision to follow Jesus, this is a great opportunity for you to do that. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around all across the auditorium, I'm going to look right into the camera for those at church online, for those in the building, you can just hear my voice. But I just want to speak to you for a minute. Here's what I want to say, that if you've never made a decision to follow Christ with your life, there's never been a better time to do it. What would happen today is you would actually have heard and received the voice of the Lord who not only has the power, but the desire to save you. And what's going to take place today is an exchange, and he's going to pull the burden of slavery off of you. You will be free, even though you might still think like a slave. That's the journey. He is going to teach you how to live free, and then he's going to put a burden on you for other people. And that's where the joy is, really. That's where it's at. So what I want to do is I want to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths, we will be saved. And so I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer. Church, all those that are in the room, you know how we do it. I ask everybody to say it out loud. For those that might be saying it for the first time, I want them to be able to say it with boldness and with confidence. In your context back home or car or wherever you might be, if you're comfortable saying out loud, I would love for you to do that. And specifically those that are saying it for the first time, let's pray. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.